Daniel chapter 5. And now, so Daniel 5, they're having this big party. They're having this big old party. They're drinking wine out of the holy cups from the temple. Imagine the foolishness. And they're all praising these idols, having this party. Not a care in the world, right? Until you reach verse 5. Daniel 5, verse 5. And when you get to Daniel 5, verse 5, things change. In the same hour, came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. That's your picture at the top, which, by the way, is a painting that Rembrandt painted, one of the greatest artists.
Yes.
And there's the painting he painted of Belshazzar at his feast. And there's the hand writing on the wall, writing these words. Imagine the sudden fear. They're in this big party, and all of a sudden, this hand appears out of nowhere, this big hand, and begins to write words on the wall. And that's your next blank. In the same hour, came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote. Wrote these words. We're going to talk about the words, and we'll see what they mean. But he wrote. Yes? That is going to connect. Yes, we'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah, the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had about the statue. Yep. That is connected here. So they're writing. This hand is writing, rather. Alright? Writing on the wall. Writing these words. And they're scared to death. Look at verse 6. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. This is like what you see in the cartoons, you know, when people get scared and their knees start knocking together. Well, this is literally what happened to Belshazzar. I mean, he's just scared. And that's your next blank. Then the king's countenance was changed and his thoughts troubled him. His thoughts troubled him. I mean, he's scared. I would have been scared. All of a sudden his hand appears out of nowhere and starts writing on the wall. Scary. And it was meant to scare him. He needed to be scared. Look at Psalm 2. Psalm 2. We studied this some time ago. You might remember these verses. Psalm 2, he needed to be scared. Everybody should have a healthy fear of God in their life. Just a healthy fear of God where they respect God and His power. Look at Psalm 2, verse 10. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and he perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Those are the verses that Belshazzar needed, because he's a king. And he's proud. And one commentary words it like this on your paper. Suddenly the hilarity of the revelry gave way to hushed fear. Everybody got quiet. The partying ended quickly. And like we said last week, God has a way of interrupting our parades, right? God has a way of interrupting our parties. We think everything's great, and suddenly we begin to forget about God, and then God lets something happen, and all of a sudden we're reminded, I need God still. There's never a time when we don't need God, right? But sometimes people think that they're okay, and they don't need God, and now he's scared, and he's crying out in verse 7. For, like his father or grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, said, bring all the astrologers, the Chaldean, the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. You'll be promoted. You'll have this. Just tell me what these words on the wall mean. Of course, everybody's trying to figure it out, looking at it. And in verse 8, all the wise men came in, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Nobody could figure it out. Once again, nobody can figure it out. So when you are the king of Babylon and nobody can figure out what to do, who do you call? You call Daniel, because Daniel has that history. Somebody knew. Well, first verse 9, of course, Belshazzar was greatly troubled. His countenance was changed. His lords were astonished. But look at verse 10, the queen. Again, some people say that this may have been either Nebuchadnezzar's wife who's still around, or there was another guy, Nebuchadnezzar, that was after him. It could have been his wife. Either way, it was either his mother or grandmother, this queen, Belshazzar's mother or grandmother. We're not told exactly. But she remembers, and she says in verse 10, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar thy father, the king I say thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. There's somebody in your kingdom, Belshazzar. Apparently, Belshazzar had no dealings with Daniel. Apparently, Belshazzar was not interested in knowing God. Because he had no dealings with this Daniel. He had never met this Daniel. Here Daniel's been living in this kingdom. Now, this is years later. This is many years later. All these years, what has Daniel been doing? You know what Daniel's been doing, probably? Just faithfully serving God. Amen. In whatever way he could. I mean, we know he was in a position of authority, so I'm sure he kept busy. I don't think he was just sitting around all day doing nothing. I'm sure Daniel kept busy, but really, we're not, between chapter 4 and 5, we're not told what Daniel's been doing, but he's been faithful. You know, sometimes you might feel like, how's God using me right now? Well, you just stay faithful to Him. There might be something right around the corner that's going to be a job just for you. Maybe Daniel is beginning to think, you know, well, Belshazzar doesn't want anything to do with me. And, you know, I had a good relationship with Nebuchadnezzar, but all these years, Daniel's just been faithful, but he hasn't been in connection with the king. But now he's going to be. And in verse number 11, she says, or actually verse 12, she says, for as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. And that's your next blank. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. He'll figure it out. That's what the queen's advice was. He'll figure it out. You know, God's people should be in reputation for giving good advice. You know, if you have unsaved family members or if you have unsaved coworkers and they hit a crisis in life, it's good when they come to you. It's a good thing. When the unsaved people that you know hit a crisis, and they know that you walk with God, and they know that you know the Lord, and they know that you're faithful, and they know that you read the Bible, it's a good thing if they come to you and say, you know, what should I do here? Because you can give them godly advice. Here's an unbelieving king in an unbelieving kingdom. It's a crisis. Who do they look to? They look to Daniel, because Daniel knows God. Maybe he can help. That's a good reputation to have, is to let others know that you know the Lord, and that you walk with the Lord, so that when they hit a crisis, they can call on you and say, what should I do? You know, help me. Or sometimes they'll just come to you and ask for prayer, right? Pray for me. And you can. So they go to Daniel. Daniel will show the interpretation. Verse 13, Daniel's brought in before the king. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Again, good reputation. Verse 15. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I've heard of thee, that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, have a chain of gold about thy neck, and thou shalt be third ruler in the kingdom. Apparently, under Belshazzar, Daniel wasn't as high up as he was with Nebuchadnezzar. Again, maybe Daniel just kind of got put into the background during all these years. He offers Daniel all these gifts. Look at Daniel's answer in verse 17. Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation." He says, "I don't want your gifts, O king, but I'll help you interpret these words that are written on the wall here. I'll help you." And now Daniel, once again, has an opportunity to preach to a king. He preached to Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar really didn't listen, did he? Until God humbled him, made him act like an animal for those 7 years. But here he gets an opportunity to preach to Belshazzar, and he does in verse 18. "O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor." Let's talk about your dad, Nebuchadnezzar. He was a very powerful man. God gave him very great power. Verse 19, "And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, languages, trembled and feared before him." I mean, everybody was deathly afraid of Nebuchadnezzar. "Whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down." Basically, Nebuchadnezzar did whatever he wanted to do, and nobody could stop him. That was Nebuchadnezzar. But look at verse 20. "But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will." Says, "Oh, Belshazzar, your dad was such a mighty man, mightier than you. And he had so much power, but he got filled with pride. And God humbled him. God humbled him and made him live like an animal." Belshazzar, you know the story. You've heard the story. I mean, everybody knew the story. So this was a commonly told story in the kingdom. But again, was it just a story just so people could know, an interesting story, or was it to serve as a lesson? It was supposed to be a lesson. Because now, Daniel points to Belshazzar. You see, stories have a point. Not just to tell the story, but to get a lesson. Look at verse 22. "And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." You knew this whole story. You knew what happened to your dad. You knew how God humbled him and how he later turned to God and humbled himself and said how he now knows that God is the one that's in control of everything. But you didn't humble yourself, and that's your next blank. "And thou, Nebuchadnezzar's son, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." That's our title. Though you know all these things, you know, the more we know, the more God holds us accountable for it. The more we know, the more accountable we are.
Amen.
So we who know the Bible, we who know the Lord, we're held accountable for that.
Amen.
And God expects you, as a Christian who has His Word, God expects you to live the right way. Because God's going to say to you, "You knew better. You knew the stories. You knew these things, and yet you haven't followed them. Belshazzar, you knew this, but you didn't humble your heart." Maybe Belshazzar was like a lot of people. That won't happen to me. I know that happened to so-and-so, but that would never happen to me. That was maybe Belshazzar's thinking. "Yeah, I know my father went crazy for 7 years, but you know what? That was just him, and he had his thing, and I know he turned to God later in his life, but you know what, I don't have time for that, and that's not going to happen to me." And that's pride, isn't it? In and of itself. That's what a lot of people think. That won't happen to me. And look at verse 23. But hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And thou, or they rather, have brought the vessels of his house before thee. You have the vessels from God's house. And you and your lords, your wives, your concubines have drunk wine in them. And you've been praising the gods of silver, gold, brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Well, Daniel's not afraid to tell the truth, is he? Daniel's an older man in this story. And Belshazzar's the younger king now. Belshazzar is younger than Daniel. Daniel, as an older man, is not afraid to tell this young king the truth. So your next blank is from that verse we just read. But hast lifted thyself against the Lord of heaven. You know, people will lift themselves up against God and His Word. People will lift themselves up against God and His Word. I think we live in a country that is lifting itself up against God.
Amen.
I believe that. When we live in a country that says certain things are okay, when God's Word says they're clearly wrong, that's lifting yourself up against God.
Amen.
To say that certain things are okay, and to not only say they're okay, but to endorse them and promote them as okay, that's lifting yourself up against God. And that's wrong. So Belshazzar lifted himself up against God. And then he says in your next blank, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. You have not glorified God, Belshazzar. Oh, if everybody would just realize that. If everybody would just realize that the reason they're living today is because God is allowing them to live.
Amen.
That alone will wake them up. I'm alive today because God's allowed me to live. I'm breathing right now because God has seen fit to allow me to continue breathing. We don't keep ourselves alive, right? We don't have that power over our own life.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to keep myself alive until I'm 80, and nobody's going to stop that. Really? All right, you can try. I hope that works. Only God is the one who decides when somebody lives or dies. And Belshazzar was reminded, you're alive today, O Belshazzar, only because God's allowed you to be alive today. And you have not glorified God. And a matter of fact, you've been mocking God and disrespecting God. So, now let's see these words. Verse number 24. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Many, many tekel upharsin. What do those words mean? That's the mystery. Verse 26. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. The word many means number. 27. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. That word tekel, you've been weighed and you're lacking, is what it means. Verse 28. Perez, which is the singular form of upharsin, up in verse 25. Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. So it's basically number, weight, division, is what those words mean. You've been your days have been numbered, you've been weighed and you're lacking, and your kingdom will be divided. That's what it means in summary form. And that's your last blank, and we'll finish the story here in a moment. Your last blank. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting, meaning lacking. You are not all what God wants you to be. Now, let's be honest with ourselves. Are any of us all what God wants us to be? No. And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So really, all of us are found lacking.
Amen.
But that's why we turn to Christ. That's why we turn to the Lord, because only the Lord can make us acceptable in God's eyes. Only the Lord can make us acceptable, because all of us are lacking. But Belshazzar was lacking also because he chose to reject God. Now, you look at verse 29, and you kind of get the idea that Belshazzar's not really getting it. Because in verse 29, he commands them to clothe Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold about his neck, and they made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. You don't read in verse 29 that Belshazzar is afraid anymore. it's almost like, oh, thank you for telling me what that means. Promote this man. Make him third ruler in the kingdom and let's continue partying. It's almost that type of a mentality. Like, wait a minute, do you understand what I just told you, Belshazzar? Your days are numbered. Your time is up. You're lacking. And your kingdom is going to be divided. Do you get it? I don't think he got it. And I don't think he ever did get it, because look at verse 30. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. He was killed that night by the Chaldeans, or rather by the Medes and the Persians, rather. And this does, like Brother John mentioned, take us back to Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the statue with the kingdoms. We're now in the next kingdom. We're now in the Medes and the Persians. Here they are. And they're coming in. And Darius, in verse 31, who will become another main character in the book of Daniel, whom we'll be learning about in the weeks to come. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. 62 years old. He became the new king. He took over. The Babylonian kingdom fell to another kingdom. Why? Well, we got a picture of the culture right here, didn't we? This big party, mocking God. Even after Nebuchadnezzar's lessons that he learned, and even after Nebuchadnezzar's proclamations about doing what's right, and Nebuchadnezzar saying, God's in control, we need to worship God only. Did the people listen to Nebuchadnezzar? Did the kingdom change? No, apparently not. Cultures crumble when they reject God. Cultures crumble when they reject God and turn away from God. Our culture is crumbling because our culture has rejected God. And what will it take? I don't know. I don't know if what could change it. We don't know. Only God knows. But God's in control, and we serve Him faithfully like Daniel. We need to be like Daniel, because guess what? Even though everybody around him was worshiping idols, and even though everybody around him was doing wrong, Daniel stayed true to God. And that's you and you and me. We live in a culture that wants to live the way they want to live and wants to get rid of the Bible and not listen to the Bible, but we need to choose to still do what's right and stay faithful to God. And God will bless you if you do. And Belshazzar didn't learn. He didn't learn from his father. May we learn from the stories in the Bible so we can say, Lord, help me not to go down that road. You know, Lord, help me not to be a Belshazzar who knows the things about God but still goes the wrong way. All right, let's go ahead and pray.